My chariot has four wheels. It weighs anywhere from 2,000 to 10,000 pounds. It is a miracle of a machine with the strength of 100 horses. Did I say my chariot? Well, to be sure, I don't actually own the license, but of one thing I can be certain, some driver will always invite me. Who knows? Maybe you. And when I climb in, listen.
Look out.
Yes, my name is Death.
Living 1949, this week ushered in by the first of the season's long holidays, holds up its mirror to reflect the facts behind the unnecessary toll of human life that rides in the wake of the automobile. In a drama document entitled Death Takes No Holiday. Your narrator, Ben Grauer.
Greetings, America. This week, the President of the United States calls the 1949 Highway Safety Conference of officials and civic leaders from all over the nation. A conference designed to recommend standards of highway safety. And well is the president advised to do so. For listen.
Last year, I, Death, was invited as a guest passenger on rides that killed approximately 90 men, women, and children, and mangled 250 others every single day.
If you're not specially good at arithmetic, that adds up to 32,000 killed and 100,000 more crippled for life in the course of living 1948. As a Los Angeles traffic officer put it to a writer for the Saturday Evening Post,
"We're hitting them harder. Used to be it was news if a victim had to be taken to the hospital at all. Today, 1 out of 10 goes to the morgue. Today, we're knocking their shoes off."
This is a problem that was birthed in the early 1890s. When Charles E. Duryea sat in a carriage in Springfield, Massachusetts, and listened to the laugh of a crowd.
You mean to sit there and say that you don't need a horse to make that thing go?
Not at all.
Well, then how will your buggy move?
Because this is a horseless buggy with an internal combustion engine.
Duryea's car moved and started millions more moving like it. Just five in living 1895, over 40 million of the world's cars in the USA alone by living 1949. And as their wheels began churning the road, only the frightened horses seemed to sense what lay ahead.
The most amazing development in human history, revolutionizing city planning, rural education, rural life in general, changing the personal, social, and economic life of all of us beyond the wildest dream of the pioneer.
And giving us all a new way to die. We probably could have seen it all coming, if we were wise, way back in 1900, when this item appeared in the New York Tribune.
A young woman was knocked down and fatally injured by an automobile vehicle while crossing Broadway on Christmas afternoon. She was a trained nurse, and therefore presumably intelligent, prudent, and active. The vehicle was moving rapidly. The engineer in charge of it saw the young woman crossing the street and rang his gong in warning. Apparently, however, he did not abate the speed of his machine or attempt to steer it out of the way. He considered his sense of responsibility fully discharged by ringing the gong.
Tell us, Mr. Driver 1949, how's your sense of responsibility? Only Death, Death who rides as the invited guest passenger in every recklessly driven car, only Death can really tell us the extent to which we've made our highways byways to kingdom come. If he would speak, if he would speak.
And why shouldn't I speak? I don't mind. I bet your life most of you won't pay any attention anyway. Did you get that? Bet your life? You want a bet? Well, I've been around a long, long time. I've walked with prehistoric men into the presence of wild beasts and walked back alone. I've shipped on sailing vessels into uncharted waters and left them at the bottom of the sea. I've rumbled across the country on the Conestoga wagons of your pioneers. But the automobile, the automobile is much neater, faster, final. Oh, but let's put some organization into this monologue. Here's a fellow I'd like you to meet, a fellow named Joe. Nice, rather vain sort of chap. And maybe you knew him. Maybe you ran into him down at your garage.
There you are, Joe. All filled up.
Good, good. You put chrome around the cowling and on the rear bumper?
Check.
Install that musical gas cap?
Check.
Spotlight?
Check.
Push button tuning?
Check.
Compass?
Check.
Altimeter?
Check.
The horn?
Listen.
Hey, that'll make them sit up and take notice, huh?
You said it. You got more trappings on that car now than Mrs. Astor's horse. Only I was wondering.
Yeah?
How'd you like me to adjust those brakes? Seemed mighty loose when I drove her in.
No, forget it. You guys are always trying to drum up trade. What do I owe you?
That's when I stepped in. Just as my host got in beside me, started the car. Of course, he blew the horn.
So long, sucker!
And we were off. As I remember it, it was a rather wonderful car. Spun glass seat covers, air conditioner, cigarette dispenser, what have you. But I was counting on what the car didn't have. We rode along at a reasonable clip, not too fast, not too slow. My friend blowing his horn upon the slightest provocation. That's my boy. We were riding behind a heavy oil truck when it happened. One of those great big monsters marked danger, inflammable. Suddenly, without the slightest warning, the truck screeched to a stop. Caught by surprise, my friend jammed on his brakes, too. As I said, my late friend was a nice, vain sort of fellow. Never meant anyone any harm. How'd he know some child was going to run his bicycle directly in the path of that truck? How'd he know his brakes wouldn't... Oh, but he did know, didn't he? The perverseness of you human beings, the chaos you breed. There's nothing deliberate about it. You just seem to come by it naturally with the best intentions in the world. Consider your traffic laws, for example. Did you ever in all your life meet up with such a hodgepodge of traffic regulations as exist in state after state? Each contradicting the rules of each other? Let me show you what I mean. State A.
Yellow line on the road, no passing.
State B, right across the border.
Yellow line, pass at will.
In my travels, and I have traveled much, I have observed that in driving from Colorado through Utah, Nevada to Oregon, the meaning of that yellow line reverses itself as you cross each state border. Which reminds me, I believe the couple's name was Martin, though I'm not certain. In my profession, I meet so many people. Briefly, a friendly couple. Having their first vacation in years, going on a motor trip. I think they left the kids with Grandma. Fortunate, then. Well, they were riding along without a worry on their mind, when at the end of the first day, they crossed that nasty little state border, and I...
Keep your eye peeled for tourist camp, honey. We'll be wanting to put up for the night in a little while.
Tired?
Me? Nah, I feel like $1,000,000. How do you suppose the kids are doing?
Oh, gosh, I miss them already.
Here, this is supposed to be a vacation. I'll tell you what, let's stop somewhere, have a good dinner, and go to a show.
Oh, swell. Hey, that looks like a good place up ahead on the right.
Okay. Guess I can pass this guy on the right. He's signaling for a left turn.
Now, listen, I like this. The driver up ahead had his hand extended horizontally, which in the home state of this likable young couple did actually mean a left turn. But as he stepped on the gas to pass him right...
Look out, John!
Well, I suppose Grandma's still looking after the children. All because in this second state, the left arm extended horizontally is also the signal for a right turn, too. And that's what can happen when a man obeys the laws of his own community after crossing the line into another. Oh, yes, they've talked about it all. All those states come together in the President's Safety Conference. even passed recommendations and written what they call
a uniform vehicle code with Act 5 to standardize the rules of the road.
But up to this week's conference,
only 20 states can be credited with so far having Act 5 of the code in effect, including several with material discrepancies, including deviations in the right-of-way rules, in which exact uniformity is deemed necessary for safety.
The human animal is a strange thing. Take that breed of the species called the pedestrian. Just as a matter of curiosity, I looked up that word in your dictionary, Webster's Collegiate, 5th edition, published in 1941, and found pedestrian defined as...
pedestrian. A walker. A foot traveler.
Which made me chuckle a bit. For time and time again, I have heard pedestrians, as you call them, pause in their meanderings to storm...
those crazy drivers.
And drivers, on the other hand, hold forth with...
those darn fool pedestrians?
Yes. Half the time, the drivers themselves, when they climb out of their cars, are pedestrians. And the pedestrians, when they climb in theirs, become drivers. So this everlasting feud is substantially a feud with yourself, depending upon your temporary condition, namely motor-driven or foot-pumped.
Look, I told him we'd meet him exactly at 12 o'clock at the corner. Here you don't show up till 12:15.
Oh, now, look, Janie, was it my fault my boss wanted me to change the water in the water cooler before I went to lunch?
It's the same. Dates don't come a dime a dozen these days, you know. And it seems...
where are you heading?
Well, let's go up here, save time.
But, Janie, you can get pinched for jaywalking.
Now, what a schmoo I piled up with. Oh, come on, sissy.
She didn't know it, but I was the one who took her hand. And together we enter the river of traffic. The place where pedestrians many times miss my company by the barest margin and think less of it than missing a streetcar. We had to walk fast because friend Janie was not going to be late for lunch if she could help it.
Really, the way I feel about you right now, Rosemarie, I could lay right down and die. After all, of all days to be late.
She didn't see the car bearing down on her.
You have to think the very time I was dying to see...
I suppose the boys figured they'd been stood up, don't you? Well, of course, there is a lot of pleasure in jaywalking, individualism, you know, man's rebellion against society. It takes courage, too. Like walking along a highway with your back to traffic moving in your direction. And in a way, it's touching. It shows great confidence in your fellow humans. A confidence in the man whom you've never met driving the car behind you. And, of course, these statistics just make it all more thrilling. Get this.
Crossing between intersections, pedestrians killed in 1947, 3,500. Injured, 65,000. Stepping out behind a parked car, killed 800, injured 30,000. Walking on a rural highway, killed 850, injured 12,000. Crossing at intersections against the signal, killed 500, injured 20,000.
Do you wonder why I have such little leisure time? Do you wonder why the governor's meeting in Washington this week to consider your welfare call in their safety program for...
more traffic safety education in schools. Until adequate resources are available, schools will be handicapped in doing an effective job.
You Americans pride yourself on having more miles of paved highway than any other country in the world. That's all right with me. Many of those roads, perhaps the ones you'll be using this weekend, seem... to me, at least, to be twisting their numerous curves, dancing their soft shoulders, and whispering invitingly to me, death. One such road in particular you might call my favorite. They opened it with a colorful public ceremony. The mayor made a speech and the governor cut the ribbon. And a few days later, I send them a bill for their careless road design.
Hey, some difference, Ed.
Yeah, this here's a road, not a cow path. Boy,
maybe we can make some time now.
Sure.
I had no sooner taken my seat in the cab of that truck when we stepped on the gas and started around the corner. Then, out from behind a road bank on the right that helped hide an intersection, innocently sped a second truck loaded with oxygen tanks.
Watch it, Jake!
The five trucks rising in one burning pile. One of the worst highway accidents ever. Today, five ambulance stations operate along the road doing a land office business. And at a little hospital close by, 25 to 30 ambulance cases, people maimed and dying is an average weekend grist, with the take double on holidays. Have you ever read what the inventory and guide for action of the President's Conference in 1948 had to say about this? I hardly think so, with more entertaining literature like Forever Amber around. Anyway, here it is.
We recommend that states and communities conduct long-range planning for orderly development of highway facilities, with maximum safety in design, construction, and regulation of roads and streets. Provide traffic engineers in states and in cities of 50,000 to facilitate safe traffic flow. Adopt uniform signs, signals, and markings.
If you read it at all, I doubt if you've ever given it a second thought. Am I right? I thought so. But the truth is that most accidents, my friends, are not caused by cars in poor condition, confusing traffic rules, pedestrians, or bad roads. No. Most accidents, and hence most of my invitations, come from bad drivers. Did you ever stop to think that your society asks you to spend less time learning to run a lethal 2,000-pound missile than it does to learn a dance step? Did you ever stop to think that each one of you, some 45 million licensed drivers, are firmly convinced that you personally are a wonderful driver, but that the guy in front or behind you ought to be drawn and quartered, or at least have his license taken away and locked in jail? I might even ask you if you ever stop to think. Question mark. Better be rude, so I won't. Here's a statistic I worked up that you might be interested in.
98% of all accidents are caused by experienced drivers.
Not new drivers, understand. Experienced drivers. 37,500 of same who had been driving more than a year asked me to ride with them in 1948. Two of the principal forms this driver suicide, that's a phrase I coined myself, takes, is alcohol and speed. And all too often they go together. As in the case of...
Hey, Artie, let's go, huh?
As in the case of Artie.
Oh, come on, Bob. How about one more? Just one more, huh?
Nothing doing. You gotta drive. I can't.
Let's just one more old-fashioned. Don't worry about me. I can hold it.
Okay, one more. But that's the last one, you hear?
Don't worry. It'll be the last one.
Okay, let's beat it.
At your service, my friend. At your service.
I joined them as they climbed into the car, started it, backed out, and turned onto the highway. Nighttime, the best time for accidents. The road seemed comparatively deserted.
How you like your new car?
Oh, wonderful. Boy, this baby got power. Look.
Listen, Artie, take it easy, will you?
What you worried about? Nobody on the road this time of night.
60. 70. 80.
Hey.
85. 90.
Listen, Artie.
Get your shirt on. There's no cops on the road.
Ahead of Artie looms another car proceeding at a fair speed. He pulls out to pass it. He is even with the car now. And now in the distance, the headlights of a new car appears on the scene. A car coming in the opposite direction towards Artie. And in the same lane, Artie is now in trying to pass another car, number one. He still has time to pull back in his own lane, but alcohol warps the judgment.
Oh, what are you going to do, Artie?
I'm coming again.
But Artie...
Closer, closer, closer come the two cars, and suddenly they loom face to face. Then, only then, both drivers try to get rid of me, but... I was with them to the end.
Inventory and Guide for Action, President's Highway Conference, Section 4, Enforcement. While much progress is being made in assigning more police to general traffic law enforcement, only cities over 500,000 population manage to get 30% or more of their number above the personnel strength recommendations of the President's Conference, 2 police officers per 1,000 population. Most states still have too few men to cope with their traffic problems.
And too many people who insist on flirting with me.
Death.
This is Ben Grauer again, friends. Anxious for you to know that only 3 diseases cause more death than automobile accidents. Heart disease, cancer, and cerebral hemorrhage. All the more reason, we say, why the President's Highway Safety Conference, assembling this week in Washington, needs your support. Yes, the governors of all states, the representatives of the state highway departments, state police organizations, highway patrols, motor vehicle commissioners, attorneys general, state legislatures, and civic organizations have been invited to Washington, to the nation's capital, to see what has been done, what needs to be done, and to devise further ways and means of implementing the highway safety of the nation. This conference of civic and official leaders needs your support. Your support to see that we may continue to use our cars as an efficient tool for national progress without paying for that use with tragic loss of life, permanent injuries, and a financial cost that no nation, no matter how wealthy, can indefinitely afford. Adequate laws may be passed, policemen placed upon our streets, safer cars and highways designed. But unless you want to put an end to this daily carnage, unless you cooperate, you can help doom the 1949 Highway Safety Conference to abject failure. First, in your own hands, then, lies your fate and the despair or hope of the nation. Remember, drive carefully. The life you save may be your own. And never forget, the guest passenger who waits to ride the highways with you.
I tell you, it has 4 wheels. It weighs anywhere from 2,000 to 10,000 pounds. It is a miracle of a machine with the strength of 100 horses. Since I don't own the millions of them scattered across the country, I don't get to ride unless I'm invited. This week, with its holiday opening, don't worry, some driver will invite me. Who knows? Maybe you.
Living 1949 is prepared and presented for the University of the Air by an NBC special program staff under the supervision of Wade Arnold. Lou Haslam writes the scripts. Ben Grauer is your narrator. Death was played by Raymond Edward Johnson. Music is composed and conducted by Dr. Roy Shields. This program is directed by Jack Cuney. Our thanks to the National Safety Council and the Automotive Safety Foundation for their research. Living 1949 extends cordial birthday greetings on its 7th anniversary to the Armed Forces Radio Service, which each week broadcasts our program on 60 overseas stations to an audience of thousands of American service personnel and millions of foreign listeners. We invite you to keep abreast of Living 1949 by listening next week to our drama document entitled Our Troubled Waters. ¶¶ speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.